So I reckon you came here from the United States?
No, that's actually, I lived in the United States for almost 30 years. But I was born in England and raised in England, and I came back about 4 years ago. Yes. And one of my main reasons for coming back was I had been looking quite deeply at crop circles, and I was involved. I was really involved on my own. I gave a couple of talks at conferences and whatnot. But I just... Cafe is closed. Motorcyclists are very angry. Anyway, here we are at the Crop Circle Cafe in Churchill. And I've just been asked to talk to this stranger. So here I am. I stepped back from crop circles primarily because what I was reading in all the Earth's mysteries and all the crop circle information, of which there was a tremendous amount, is I wasn't really given any understanding as to the nature of Earth energy. So I think with the muddying of the waters, i.e. when it was abundantly clear that some of these formations were being made by teams, I stepped back for a moment because I couldn't clearly distinguish between those that were made by some higher unseen power and those that were made, for example, by Team Satan. So on a couple of occasions I could have sworn, because of my understanding of the Earth energy lines going through certain crop circles, through the very epicenters of these crop circles, I could have sworn that they were real, and they turned out to be man-made. So I kind of, you know, got caught with my trousers down. Around that time, since there was so much confusion, and in the spiritual community of crop circle aficionados didn't want to talk to those people who were making them. Those people who were making them didn't want to talk at all because they might get sued by the farmers. So there was a sort of a Mexican standoff. What I did is I stepped back and I began to seriously question what the relationship was between crop circles and Earth energy in the landscape. What I call the Earth serpent lines, the Earth serpent energies. These are not straight lines, these are not ley lines. But what I was finding in all of the circles, whether made by man teams or made by the unseen higher powers, was that these Earth serpents that I've mapped throughout Wiltshire were always going through the very, very centers of these crop circles, which was basically led me to understand that the Earth energies get attracted to the centers of these crop circles after the fact.
So you measured where, is there a way to measure where those serpent lines go?
Yes, you see all these lines on my map?
Yeah.
Okay. These lines are forever moving, lazily in the landscape. Okay, now the ancients knew that they could fix those for all time if they placed in those serpents a standing stone, a crystal, a sword, a lance, a stone circle. Avebury, just down the road here, has got about, to my reckoning, about 25 major Earth serpents running through it. Now most people don't know that.
Yeah.
Because all they know is what they probably read and experimented with dowsing wise, and that is that the Michael and the Mary line fuse as they go through the Avebury circle, or the two circles. Okay, that's all they know. But with a little more fine-tuning dowsing, you can begin to understand the exact nature and importance of every single stone in that circle. Okay. I don't have a map here to show you because you've just collared me on the road, so I'm winging it as well you are.
It's a bit difficult on radio anyway, so...
I'm sure. One thing you might go to check out is that there is a crop circle convention going on as we speak. in devices. Mm-hmm. And I can let you know where to go, and you might want to collar somebody like Francine Blake, who is running the show down there today, and she may give you a very, very much clearer picture from her side, from a spiritual point of view, not from a hoaxed man-made point of view. That's not her bailiwick, but she may give you a very good little voiceover on her perspective about the spiritual nature of crop circles. So mm-hmm. that's worth a visit later on. If you're down in Devizes about 5 or 6 o'clock, that would be a good thing to put on your radio show.
So why are you interested in the phenomenon?
Well, just wait until the Hell's Angels go to the Red Lion in Avebury to have a few beers, and they're leaving now.
Yeah.
My interest, as I say, is if you begin to study crop circles, or if you begin to study Stonehenge, or what people call ley lines, or earth mysteries generally, you can't really study it without getting into the wider implications that the subject is really hiding. And these are things like sacred geometry, like astrology, mythology. All the ologies are contained within a small little subject like crop circles. Once you get in, your view then begins to ripple out and expand, and you have to then begin to look at wider and wider and wider ripples of what this phenomenon is really all about, you know. And it's a great mystery. It's a great unsolved mystery. As I said, what I think the key to part of this riddle is the earth energy, which we don't fully understand. In fact, a lot of English people believe that there are these ley lines out there, and energy moves in straight lines. And that is not my finding. I'm a dowser. I used to dig wells by hand in America. So I'm not looking for water now, though. But with dowsing, it's like a computer. It's a binary system.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful way in which you've got to be very clear, though, very clean, to access information, unseen information. Also with dowsing, it can also be used as a direction finder. Now, I happen to know, it's not a belief, it's an experiential knowledge, because I've sort of, you know, initiated myself out in the fields over several years, just on my own, and I'm not looking for any brownie points, but I'm looking to understand the mystery, and I know that the mystery is intimately linked with the energy from the earth. I've just come up for a couple of days to look at the crop circles before going off to Ireland for a month to look at sacred sites in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last 5 years I've been looking around all over Great Britain and the world to determine what makes a sacred site sacred, you know, and why is somewhere like Avebury placed where it is and not here at the Crop Circle Cafe in Churhill. Why?
Yeah.
Those questions are relevant to me, and in my understanding of earth energy, I'm stumbling more and more upon the understanding of why the ancients placed so much importance in moving tremendously heavy boulders around the landscape and moving billions of tons of earth around the countryside. Mm-hmm. You know, this was not just to keep people occupied.
Yeah.
This was very, very serious business, and was very much connected with the earth energy. These earth energies, as I say, are moving around all the time. For the first time yesterday, I found the Hatpen Hill formation to be a little scrappy. This is Hatpen Hill 1 formation, not the second one south of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in the field north of the road going up to the White Horse on Hatpen Hill, there have been quite a few formations over the last few years. So I know that an earth serpent goes north of the road, and I doused that particular formation at Hackpen Hill, and it was dead. I could not find any earth serpents moving through it, which is strange, because in all of the crop circles I've been to so far, and I have not known which are man-made and which are not. But I constantly run into people on all around the neighborhood who swear to me on their mother's grave or their grandmother's grave that they are part of teams, and there are at least 5, if not 10 teams, that they say are responsible for all crop circles. Now, if you speak, for example, to any of the people going to Francine Blake's crop circle conference in Devizes over the last 2 days, they will say possibly 20% they can ascribe to man-made crop circles, 80% from a higher unseen force, power. So mine is an ongoing kind of work in progress. I don't have all the answers. I have a few answers. They're my answers, and we'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
It's a grand mystery, and it involves a lot of different things, because in their own right they are proving to be sacred, whether they're man-made or not. They're actually kind of very highly mobile churches out there, you know, which people go to and find a lot of very wonderful purposes for, you know.
What do you think is the reason for them appearing? Okay, you already named some reasons, but why are they appearing now in this complexity? They've been appearing for hundreds of years, as we know, but why are they as complex and as frequent as we have them now?
Now, I, you know, it's an uncomfortable place to sit on the fence between they're all spiritual and they're all man-made. And I think if you go to any of those, either of those extremes, you won't find the truth there. Certainly not the truth of why they've come up, you know. Because I can't really read the minds of those teams that are out there making these amazing sacred geometrical patterns, because they've obviously really, really thought about these patterns. Now, some of the patterns are pure, abstract, mathematical, sacred geometrical, symbolic language. Others are, shall we say, a little more prosaic. They are figurative. So we're being talked to. There's one thing to be talked in terms of the abstract mathematical lingo, but then if there is another language being thrown at us that is much more figurative, okay, it's a slight jolt, because those are two different languages. I would like to feel, think, believe, know that there are some real ones, and that we are being given a few pointers as to what is coming up ahead of us on the planet, because obviously the planet is ripping very, very quickly and swiftly. If you just have to take a look at the way in which things are dividing, it's getting into an accelerated kind of quickening as the duality is beginning to peel apart, and it's probably the most difficult thing to stay in the middle path, you see, and to be in the middle path and to not get overly taken with a sort of a blue light spirituality and lose the ground under your feet just because you don't want your sacred cows trodden on, you see? Because it's okay if there are a few being made. It really is okay. And I think at conferences there should be those man-made people as part of the conference. Yeah. And they should get together here, you know. And well, how are you making them? And not keep the whole thing separated. Why now? Well, we're sort of, if you measured everything on the Richter scale, we're going off the scale very, very quickly. And I think the health of the planet is being severely tested in every direction. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if, now the thing is, you see, you have to, everybody is on their own recognizance. Everybody must determine themselves, not because somebody told them. Everybody must really determine whether ley lines are real, whether these crop circles are real or whether they're hoaxes. You know, everybody, I walked into a field this morning very early, 7 o'clock. There was a young fellow there, and he said he had not walked into any crop circle yet that was hoaxed, because he said it was just a feeling, and he could just feel it, the peace, the bliss, the whatever. By the same token, you know, if you are a Coca-Cola drinker and somebody comes along like Pepsi Cola and says, would you taste this blind, and you drink, you're a Coca-Cola drinker and you drink, and they say, no, that's not Coke, look, it's Pepsi. Okay, what I'm saying is that we have to be very, very careful about our spiritual feelings as well. We have to discriminate here. We can't keep the blinkers on. We have to take them off. We have to accept the dark and the light, you know. We can't throw the crop circle hoaxes into the evil, bad bin. Everybody has to be included. Okay, that's the meaning of the sacred hoop in the Native American understanding. And when Black Elk said, the hoop of the nation is broken, basically he meant it was broken and there was now discrimination. And people were in, people were out. There was an elite faction and there was a sort of a verboten faction. And I think, you know, that is very clear in some of the ways in which crop circles are being treated. I think it's contaminated now slightly, and I think people are almost taking political stances and becoming very, very judgmental. And this is all a test, you see. This is all a test, and we should allow, we should permit, and get the best out of it we can. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think the phenomena will, how will it develop in the coming years?
Right. Well, the crop circle hoaxers, the Team Satans of the world, you see, they don't seem to be getting bored. They like to be up in London and they like to pour over their architectural, you know, crop circle, sacred geometrical maps, having a pint of beer or whatever, and a joint, and part of their glee is the rush of doing it at night, no lights, very little whispering. What if we're caught? Well, that's part of the rush. It's dangerous, it's exciting, and my drinking mates and us, we're going to see it on telly, or the spiritual community are just going to absolutely take this down the gullet without even blinking and think it was the Great White Brotherhood, you see. Only if you talk to them, they also have experienced a lot of very strange phenomenon during their little practice in the middle of the night at the hour of the wolf. You know, fogs have surrounded them, balls of light, strange things going on. Now, whether their lack of boredom will go on and whether they will just continue dreaming up geometrical forms for the spiritual community to then believe are made by higher powers and then write about them in glowing spiritual, you know, heaven and earth terms, you see, that's, you know, that's another thing that, that probably provides Team Satans with endless amounts of laughter and enjoyment. I don't think that the teams will stop, you see, and I don't think the spiritual people will stop coming. I think after 9/11, when travel became extremely dodgy from other parts, international-wise, and I think when foot and mouth struck England and nobody could walk on farmers' property, and then it became abundantly clear that there were hoaxes really getting in there, I think those three elements have contaminated a little. There's less tourists here, there's less croppies here, I think. But there's a fair amount, and they still have conferences, only the attendance is a little down. I think the involvement, though, with going into the fields, the landscape, the times of day, is incredibly beneficial and can only have a spiritual effect. Ultimately, purely by throwing it back inside every individual for themselves to really question the validity of this and the so what and what is this language and how do we interpret this and all the rest of it. Only good can come of that because it stirs up a wonderful spiritual base within every human being, woman, child, man, whatever, whatever the age, whatever the creed. If they actually take that step out to look at one of these, that's a wonderful thing. And it, you know, in that respect, it doesn't matter who makes them. In the other respect, as Heather was saying this morning, it would be nice to understand that we are being given a gift by the higher powers, one in which perhaps we can internally and very subtly and maybe not even knowingly benefit from, you know, but even the conscious deliberation and, should we say, struggle in quotes over the meaning and interpretation and legitimacy of crop circles can only do good. End of story.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.